Live from Los Angeles, California and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, it's the Coast to Coast Show. Ebony Ivory with Andy Kimball and Lloyd Booker. Ebony Ivory, welcome aboard.
Last in the past, don't you just love it? I'll tell you. Oh, my God. I look at these numbers and how many shows we have done and where we are now, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. We started this show. This is the Andy Demanda program, folks. We're live here in the UK and the USA. 5 o'clock in the UK, right, Amanda? I think that's what time it is.
That's and right, my darling.
Yeah, and it's, what time is it here? Oh, it's 9 o'clock here. 9 a.m. here.
Oh,
wow.
Is that better for you, Andy?
Yeah, you know, I've been kind of sitting here twiddling my thumbs the last few hours waiting. Okay, 3 hours till showtime. 2 hours and 59 minutes till showtime. No, but I was looking at all these numbers and all the, you know, the show started with a 15-minute little briefing of the news as it would appear from, you know, the black and white perspective, you know, on April 16th of 2020. As the Ebony and Ivory show? It's called the Ebony and Ivory show, right? And
that's
how
right.
We have advanced, and then you came in as a caller, and Cornell came in as a caller, and it was just, and the chemistry was amazing, and the show took some changes in direction and format, and bam, it became the Andy and Amanda show, and here we are now, in what? Where are we now, Jet? February already.
February, darling, yeah.
We're gonna hell, the Super Bowl was yesterday. Oh my, you know, whoa, wee.
Wow, how was that? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I did. I did. I made a. Did I ever tell you that I was a master chef?
No, you didn't. No.
Yep. Yeah, I told myself that anyway. I told my dog that, but then he died. I made some homemade chili mishigash.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you want to call it chili, but it was kind of like homemade chili. But
wow.
I slow cooked it for hours, you know, melted cheese on top, and I made a cornbread. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ooh, fancy.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
And I spent the next 3 hours in the toilet. I missed the whole game.
Yeah, I mean, I always tell myself I'm a master chef until something goes wrong, and then the air is blue, you know what I'm saying? I'm just like, got it. So I can relate.
No, but it's actually came out. I've got tons of leftovers. You're welcome to some. It came out great. And
ooh,
love to,
thank you.
You're certainly welcome.
I love to taste your cooking, darling.
Yeah, I'm quite the cook. I make an amazing chicken parmesan.
Ooh.
And I make a special barbecued apricot chicken. With an apricot glaze on the chicken,
nice.
Barbecue on the barbecue grill with a side of baked beans and applesauce.
Mm-mm.
And a salad.
Yep.
Wow. Yep. And and the chicken parmesan is a specialty of mine. It was, maybe it still is, the only thing I could cook, really.
Yeah.
I remember when I used to, you know, back in the day when I would have a date, I would always make, you know, come over. I said, come on over, I'll make you dinner. And I'd always make chicken parmesan and melt the cheese all over the top, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's mouth-watering now, Andy.
Well, now you got to come over. See, now you got to come over and try my cooking.
True, true. Come on,
see, just for you.
Oh,
yes.
Thank
yes.
You.
So we are on, this is the Andy and Amanda show, Andy Kimball here in Hollywood, as Amanda says. And,
Hollywood.
And Amanda Love, just outside, not too far outside of London, right? I think I got it right this time.
Yeah,
and
2 hours away.
Yeah, but cool. Do you get to London much, by the way? Do you ever, or is it kind of like a haul for you to do that?
I don't get there as much as I'd like to. I've traveled there for like training and all sorts with, work stuff before, and been there a couple of times for leisure purposes, but I don't get there as often as I'd like to. It's such a beautiful place.
I love it.
So many gorgeous parts.
Yeah, I love it, and I've only been there the once. I have a I was supposed to go again. I think I remember telling you. As for those of you who don't know, both Amanda and I are musicians. That's our real gigs. I'm a folk and blues guitar singer, songwriter, performer, and Amanda composes music and writes songs. And I was supposed to go to London last spring, was last spring, yeah, last June, somewhere.
Yeah.
Do some shows and also make a record at the famous Abbey Road Studios in London.
Yeah.
Which was a great invitation. I still, if nothing else, I'll put their letterhead on my wall with the invite to come over. but anyway, so I had reservations and everything. I had an airline ticket and the whole nine yards. And I called the airline to cancel because of COVID. And at that time, England was not England, UK, UK. It's still called England? I don't know. It's still called England.
Pretty
UK,
much,
yeah. The UK was not on the hot list of countries you couldn't travel to, so they wouldn't give me a refund, and they gave me a credit for my ticket. And so I called. I just remember I made a call and maybe get that ticket money refunded. That's pretty cheap,
yeah,
too. And it's still on there as a credit. So I'm hoping over the next few months, I'm kind of doubtful. This is just wishful thinking. Maybe by June this year, because I already bought the ticket. It's like, you know, in my head, it's like free. It's like a free ride to London and back.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and make a reservation and come over and visit and come to London. And
then
we can hang out. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
Just be able to hang out.
Amazing.
Yeah, maybe we do a show together from there.
Oh, that would be so cool. That would be so cool, Andy, definitely.
So I think we can actually, via Blog Talk Radio, I think we can actually do a show from our cell phones. It might not be great. It'd probably be good enough.
Wow.
It would work. So you and I can actually get on our cell phones, on our smartphones, create the show, and then call in as or we don't have to call in. We get on the internet and log in, and do the show together.
Wow.
And we can let them hear us. Well,
yeah, that'd be a lot of fun.
You bet it would be.
Yeah, the word is hear us. Yeah.
I got some ideas, see. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying here?
I can tell.
Yeah.
By the tone of your voice.
Are you sure?
Oh, dude. Yeah, that would be so cool to meet you and have you over here, because, you know, it's such a great place, London. And yeah, it'd be amazing to finally meet my co-host.
And, it would be great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, I would really enjoy that. So I have to see when that, I have to call American Airlines and see when I can use that, or if I can book a trip in June now. I can always postpone or cancel it again. Maybe that's the thing to do.
Yeah. That's probably a way around it, Andy. Yeah, give it a go. You never know.
And then I've got some other credits. I don't even know where. I had a whole tour booked last spring and summer that got canceled, and had some other flight. Southwest refunds, so I got refunds from Southwest Airlines.
Oh,
but I have
good.
A bunch of – yeah, I've got a bunch – I've got, I think, one or two other American Airlines trips paid for on credit. I don't know what – weren't there two?
Yeah.
Or how much – I got to look into that. Andy, come on, get on the ball here. Get on the ball. Get on the ball here.
Find out, my darling. Find out so you don't lose out on anything. Because,
believe me, American Airlines does not need the money. I do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Get on it. Get on it, my darling.
Get on it.
Definitely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you have a good weekend?
We can. I agree. I think we can too. I think we can.
You absolutely. If you play golf, if you play tennis, or whatever you do, you have to make time for sex.
Yeah, I hear that a lot.
That's about all I do is hear it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my poor co-host.
Oh, you know, I'll tell you.
No respect, right, darling?
No, it ain't easy being me. No. Not at all.
It's okay. I got your back.
Oh, thank you, Amanda. I know. And if, you know, we've never met, folks. Amanda and I have never met. And it'll be really great to meet in London and then do a show live. You know, we can tune Cornell in from there.
Maybe. Yeah,
no, I we try, because we'll be, what, four or five? In June, I guess it'll be 4 hours ahead. You can probably do it and get him one. It would be great. He has other real job. obligations at this hour, and that's why he's not with us. You know, some of you who follow the show regularly know our show coordinator, Cornell Butler, who is not with us because he actually does something for a paycheck, unlike Andy and Amanda here.
We got no life, you know.
we have no life whatsoever. It needs to be in us. You know what I mean?
I know. Sorry about it. I say that to myself in the mirror every day.
I think what you just said is very important.
Yeah.
I think what you just said is very important.
Very.
Thank you. Someone agrees with us, Andy.
We'll look into that. You know, it wouldn't be till June, but it would be great to be able to do it.
Oh, absolutely.
If it's safe, and we'll dive into the COVID numbers later on in the show and see where the. I haven't really paid attention this weekend too much. Have you? I haven't really followed it this weekend too much.
No, I gotta say I haven't either. It's kind of been like a time out for me to detached from it all, because it's kind of built up over time where you have to report it, and you're hearing it everywhere, your family and friends are talking about it, so it's constantly there in your face. And this weekend I was like, time out.
I'm right with you. I was the same.
You enjoyed the Super Bowl?
Super Bowl's good. It was the game itself was somewhat of a disappointment. You know, it was supposedly going to be a quarterback draw, young versus old, with 20 years separating the 25-year-old, I guess he is, a 25-year-old quarterback from the Kansas City Chiefs, Mahomes, and the 43-year-old quarterback from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Tom Brady, of course. Who is the greatest quarterback of all time. So Tampa Bay just absolutely dominated the Kansas City Chiefs on both sides of the ball throughout the entire game. I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs just did not come to play football yesterday. Very, very disappointed. The reason why I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan is because their coach, Andy Reid, was the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles football team for 14 years. I am from Philadelphia. And to this day, although because I've been in California for several years now, it's starting to wane somewhat, but I lived and breathed the Philadelphia Eagles football team all football season. I mean, that was, you know, they were like never and if the Eagles in Philadelphia, I don't know if folks around the world who are listening to us, but I got to tell you something. The Philadelphia sports fan is unlike no other. Not unlike no other, like no other. like <them.
laughs>
yeah, I'm like, yeah, you know what I'm saying. Yeah,
I do.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little early in the morning for me, but the entire pulse of the city of Philadelphia is dictated by whether the Eagles win or lose on that preceding Sunday of that work week. I mean, it is unreal. It is unreal. It makes the city a lot of fun for the major sports events, you know. Of course, baseball goes on 100, you know, non-COVID, of course, goes on 160 games. So that, you know, kind of goes on for a while. But football is you know, with the 16-game schedule, just every week for the 18 weeks, including the playoffs and so forth, the city is just all Eagle green. I mean, it's just unreal. It's exciting. It's great to be
in. Wow, that's amazing.
So that's why I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan, because the Eagles head coach was now, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs coach, and Kansas City did win the Super Bowl last year. But they got crushed. They got crushed yesterday. They got crushed.
No.
Yeah, you know what the great part of the game was, and I was all for Kansas City. It was just obvious they were not going to come back. You know, they were behind. They were just not going to come back. You just knew it. But what the focus became for me was watching the magnificence of Tom Brady in a Tampa Bay team. You know, he was with New England Patriots, 10 Super Bowls, seven wins, five MVPs. And he's just incredible. And so he came from New England Patriots. Of course, he won six Super Bowls there. And the tight end, his receiver, a big guy, they call him Gronk, Gronkowski, he was retired. So Gronkowski retired from the New England Patriots. Tom Brady left the New England Patriots. And so after Tom Brady is picked up by Tampa, Gronk comes out of retirement just to join him there. And Gronk was already, you know, last year he was hosting a party on the beach for the Super Bowl. He was on the field being honored, I forget why, on the field, and it was a suit and tie. And suddenly, bam, he's back on this, teamed up again with Tom Brady, you know, the old reunion.
Wow.
I got to tell you, you know, I was rooting for the Chiefs, but to watch those two in action and watch Tom Brady was a real treat. You can't deny this spectacle of this incredible talent. The guy is just incredible. Whether you root for him or not, he's amazing. Yeah. He's the greatest quarterback of all time. Better than Joe Montana of the 49ers. I think better than Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali, he was a quarterback. What was he? He was a boxer.
Boxer, yeah.
Shows you how in sports I am. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not hugely into sports either, I gotta admit, you know. The most I followed was what you guys refer to as soccer. So, of course, it's just called football over here. And you know the story, Andy. My father kind of raised me around football. He was a huge football fan. And so I ended up, you know, following the same team, and which are an amazing team. They've done really well for themselves. And that's about as far as I go. And I've, from, you know, this distance, I've admired basketball in the US and especially baseball. We used to play at school a variant of that, you know. We called it rounders. And you had, like, the four bases, and you had a wooden stick. You had to hit this ball and then run around the four bases to get home. And so it was pretty much the same as baseball without a lot of the rules and stuff. But always good fun. So I've always had a soft spot in my heart for that one, darling.
Did you play much sports growing up? Did you play football or?
Well, yeah, actually, because my dad was into it. You know, I was kind of I was one of the boys. Sometimes I'd be hanging out with the park with all my friends, and the boys would be playing football. I'd be like, you know what? I don't care if I'm a girl. I'm gonna get stuck in. So I did.
I gotta tell you, that's really funny. I gotta tell you a funny story. My daughter, my eldest daughter, is quite the athlete, and growing up, even just out of being a toddler, just took to baseball and to football, really, and soccer, and she was really good. Even as a 7-8 year old, just you saw this talent. As a 2 or I think 3 year old, she won a swimming competition on the backstroke.
Wow.
And always, she was in a swim team and just always did really well. So here's the funny thing, and I got 2 daughters and I love girls. I always wanted daughters. I really did. I don't know what it is. I don't know what I would have done if I had a son. It would have been great. Believe me, if I had a son, it would have been terrific.
Yeah.
But I really always wanted daughters. I really, really did. Always, my whole life. You know, always admired the perspective and the look of the world that comes through a woman's and a girl's eyes and how they are. You wonder if girls were the leaders of the world, if there ever be wars, you know?
Well, that question gets raised so often, Andy, but I think, personally speaking, I think, because even girls have egos, you know, and we all have our ideas and stuff, and we can be just as harsh, and I think the whole separation between the male and female thing, there's things obviously that separate us, but, you know.
What would you fight over? Things like hair dryers, makeup, recipes?
Let's hear you say that, Andy. let me tell you.
Makeup.
Don't listen. Let me put this straight.
So here's what happened. So my youngest, my oldest, rather, she's my oldest. I used to go and play football with her. We'd throw the football around. She could throw a football. I mean, as a youngster, she could put a spin on that ball. I used to run patterns and have her, you know, I'll go out 7 steps and cut to the left or the right and stuff. And man, I look over that my shoulder and there's the football perfectly spinning, sitting right there. I reach up in the air and grab it. I'm really, really good. So, she used to always wear the boys' clothes, and I bought her a Philadelphia Eagles uniform that she used to run down around it. It was so cute. So, and she always, every time we went clothes shopping, she'd always go to the boys' department and buy boys' clothes. You know, always. She never, ever went to the girls' department. So one time I told her, look, let's go get you some clothes. That's fun to do. But here's the condition. I want you to go to the girls' department and buy one item. Just one. I don't care what it is. It could be anything you want. One item. And then I'll go to the boys' department and get whatever else you want there. Okay, deal. Okay, deal. Deal. Okay. We're in the store, okay. Walking around, blah, blah, blah. And she picks up something off the girls' rack and she says, Dad, how's this? I said, oh, this is really great. What do you get? Yeah, okay. So then we go complete the shopping trip. But years later, seven, 8 years later, she tells me, hey, Dad, do you remember that time when you took me shopping and you said I was going to buy one thing in the girls' department? I said, oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, I remember that. She said, well, I had taken something from the boys' department and moved it over.
I love it. I like your thinking.
God, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Oh,
yeah, something.
What was it? Or can you remember?
I don't remember. I think it was a shirt of some sort. It was a shirt of some sort.
Yeah.
Sort. And, I don't know. It was on the girls' hanger. You know, she picks it. It's a whole bunch of, you know,
yeah,
on the girls' rack. And
yeah,
she picks it up and takes it off the rack and say, Dad, how's this? I'm like, I don't, you know, whatever, sure. we're in the girls' department. That's girls' clothes. Yes, yes. Get it. You know. And
yeah.
I mean, not that it was. I mean, she also, you know, went to football camp and all this stuff. She's what an athlete. To this day, she's an amazing athlete. But, and she was a closing pitcher in Little League. I mean, really, you know, pretty
that's
fun.
Amazing.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, to me, I was like, whoa, you know, geez. She used to tell me, because she's a really great, you know, a good baseball player, you know, great hitter, great fielder. And she used to say, why is it that women can't continue on to play professional baseball? I said, I don't know if there's any actual rule or law that would prevent a female from participating or trying out for a baseball team. Just think physiologically, compared to the musculoskeletal structure of a male, I don't think they would match up. I don't think they would match up to what is available in terms of the potential strength of a team. And I said, if you want to do it, why don't you be the first one? You know, if you want to do it, then let's go for it. I'm there. I'm right with you. Let's, you know, every step of the way, whatever you want to do to perfect baseball game, to challenge whatever might be out there, to make a difference, you know, and to make a stand for women. I'm all about that, you know. I had a girlfriend a while back who was into the NRA, not the NRA, is that the National Rifle Association? Yeah, wrong organization, I'm sorry. She was really into the NRA, you know. No, not the, what's it called? Not the NRA. Now, National Organization of Women.
Right.
And I'm all about that organization, you know. Anything that's got women in it. No, excuse me. I'm all about that.
I gotta say, you're painting yourself a beautiful picture.
So she. I'm not doing too good, am I? I'm trying to have an interesting conversation here. I'm just kind of digging a hole for myself. Anyway, but the nationally, yeah. So she's really into it. She's a member and very active in feminist causes and so forth. And as am I, you know, and I'm all for that. And I asked her, I said, how come, you know, I would like to be someday, I want to be the head of the National Organization for Women. How come a guy can't be head of that organization? If a guy is really, you know, championing women's rights and women's causes and equal pay, you know, family leave and so forth, less reliance on boxed cake mixes and more reliance on homemade cake mixes. And how come a guy can't go ahead and champion, you know, the reduction in having, you know, empty kitchens and the demand to have, you know, a woman there for you when you come home from work after a long day? You know, what is wrong with those values and those, okay, you know?
Yeah.
No, but no, you know, I think that why can't a guy, if he's really pro, I really, really am pro women's rights and so forth, why can't a guy join the NRA, I guess they call it NOW? I call it NOW, that's it, not NOW, they call it NOW, National Organization for Women. Do you have such an organization there in the UK?
Oh, possibly, darling. Possibly. I'm not aware of that, but yeah, I should imagine we have. We've got all sorts here.
I'm sure.
Rights and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, I just get on board with what you're saying. If a man is, you know, really passionate enough about it and to support women in that way and try to understand their values and what they're trying to put across, I think, why not, you know? I think, if you know, a man can represent women just as much as a woman can. You think you've got to be female to put all these things across because only a female can understand? Well, if only a female can understand, then they should be communicating with men to say, okay, this is what we understand, this is what we feel, this is what we experience, and then help that man to understand, you know? And if he's willing to do that, then yeah, fantastic, go for it, I say.
Yeah, I agree. I really agree with you. I want a quick announcement here. I just got notified that we are on the iHeartRadio podcast program now.
Ooh.
So I want to welcome all our listeners who are following us on iHeartRadio podcast.
Thank you, guys.
Among many other podcast distribution channels such as Pandora and Apple and Chrome and Google and many others that we're on, but we are also on iHeart, which is great, and great to be part of their system and on their podcast. So we thank the folks over at iHeartRadio for including us in their podcast distribution program. We do appreciate it.
Very humbled.
Yeah, isn't that great? Yeah, it is. And let's again, folks, for those of you in the UK, if you have Skype, you can call our show. It's country code USA is 1. And using Skype, 515-605-9888. Of course, you can dial that number anywhere in the world and get on and join the conversation. Let us know your thoughts and ideas and so forth, and you know, share your opinions. And you can also email Andy and Amanda Show, just Andy and Amanda Show at gmail.com. And just drop me a note that you want to get on the show with your email address, and I will send you an email invite and have you join the show on the internet. Just make sure you have a headset or microphone and speakers and so forth. But you can join us that way as well. And what we're doing of those, because we are normally not on at this time, and what we're doing, we have a nice chunk of listenership, and we are grateful for it in the UK. And thanks, Amanda, for that as well.
Oh, bless you. Thank you.
And what we wanted to do, we did a show a week ago with a special guest, Mark Lester, from the Oliver film fame, and he'll be back on the show too next month. And what we decided, because we saw a great big spike in numbers by having our show presented in the UK at a convenient time for listeners there, as opposed to our normal schedule time, which is, I think, 1 o'clock in the morning or something like that when we go on in the UK, right?
Yeah,
so
that's right.
What we decided to do is to bring this, at least this Monday show, we might do some more as well during the week, but at least this Monday show at a convenient time for our UK listeners, because we know you're there, we know you're tuning in, and hopefully enjoying more than we are what we do here. But that's why we are here. And for those of you who are listening live on Block Talk Radio, who normally might, scan the live channels at this time and saying, what's Andy and Amanda show? Well, it's Amanda Love in the UK, Andy Kimball here in the United States. And we talk news, information, we talk whatever's on our mind. And
yes, pretty much.
And we dive into the sources and the data and the where news is generated from. We don't just read, we scan news articles, obviously, and see what the headlines are. And then we kind of go more into depth about them and dig into what the truth is, as so we're not a show that just depends on a media outlet to present what we present, like so many others are. But anyway, we've been fairly successful doing what we're doing, I think, considering how we're doing it, just kind of on our own and grassroots with no real network or media support whatsoever, just us doing it because we want to make a difference. That's our commitment, to get out there and be a voice for things that matter. And speaking of for things that matter, and speaking of our UK audience, I'm sure Amanda has some of the news headlines that are affecting the lives of the folks in the UK now, and BBC and otherwise. But what's going on there now? What's happening in the news?
AstraZeneca in the news regarding its protection against variants, especially the South African variant, which from testing, they have found 147 cases of the variant so far in the UK. So they found in a new study that in trials around 2,000 people around the age of 31 seem to have minimal protection against mild strain of the South African variant, basically. So the South Africa is putting AstraZeneca vaccine on hold for the time being until they have more results from that study, because obviously if it's having a minimal effect, then they're going to hold off and no point really giving out the vaccine if it's not going to do much. So Professor Gilbert from the Oxford University told the Andrew Marr show that current vaccines have a reduction in efficiency against some of the variant viruses. What that is looking like is that we may not be reducing the total number of cases, but there's still protection in that case against deaths, hospitalizations and severe disease. That's really important for healthcare systems, even if we are having mild and infections, to prevent people going into hospital with COVID would have a major effect. I'm really struggling with this today.
Just you and me both. See, at the time of day, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
See, now you know how I feel.
Wow. The health minister, Edward Arger, said that the government was anticipating that an annual jab could be required to combat the variants. He also said that every study deserves to be taken seriously, but there was no evidence that the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine was not effective at preventing severe illness from coronavirus, which is the key thing we are seeking to tackle. So many people, I think it was about 15 people in the World Health Organization, vaccine experts were meeting and holding talks on the use of the AstraZeneca vaccine with concerns over its protection against the new variants. And so they've been discussing usage recommendations, including older adults due to its effectiveness in people specifically over the ages 65. So we're going to see where that leads and what results come from that. Also, there's been talk in the media over the last few days about the UK issuing a vaccine passport, but the UK government has ruled that out and said that we are not that type of government to make mandatory such things, that being vaccinated is a choice. So the government are currently discussing on how children who have missed a lot of schooling from lockdowns could possibly catch up with maybe a summer school program or longer school days and maybe even repeating a school year, which I believe is quite a common thing in the US, right, Andy?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. So the other thing that I noticed today and I thought was important to share was in the world of technology, we have news that Iran has been running two surveillance operations by hiding spyware in wallpaper, restaurant, and games apps targeting mobile phones and PCs.
Oh, my gosh.
Targeting individuals in Iran and 12 other countries, including the UK and the US. So this spyware is used to steal call recordings and media files. So one of the two groups known as Domestic Kitten, very cute, is accused of tricking people into downloading malicious software onto mobile phones in various ways, such as repacking an existing version of an authentic video game found on the Google Play Store, mimicking an app for a restaurant in Tehran, offering a fake mobile security app, providing a customized app that publishes articles from a local news agency, supplying an infected wallpaper app containing pro-Islamic State imagery, masquerading as an Android application store to download further software. And the second group, known as Infi or Infi or Prince of Persia, has been said to spy on home and work PCs in various countries, extracting sensitive data after tricking people into opening malicious email attachments. So that is going on in the cyber world right now, people. So, you know, be aware of what you're downloading, what you're interacting with.
Oh,
just be very cautious.
Wow.
Yeah. There's always someone trying something like that. Always.
Mm.
So, yeah, those things tonight. And so, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Boy, I'll tell you, where are we headed? Where are we headed?
Know.
You know, tomorrow I guess you want to call it a trial. The president was already here. The president Trump, the former president, was already impeached twice. You know, more recently for his incitement of the riots in the Capitol building, January 6th. And after the impeachment, the papers are delivered. The verdict is delivered of that impeachment, which is obviously concluded that he was impeached, goes to the Senate, and the Senate has the equivalent of what you might want to call a trial to convict or not to convict. And if the president was in office and convicted, he is removed. If the president is no longer in office and convicted, they lose all the perks of the security, the pension, no longer allowed to hold public office ever. And that's what happens if he's convicted and by the Senate, if he's not in office. The trial starts tomorrow here.
Oh, okay.
And that'll be, Trump, I'm not going to play the audio clips, no need, but what we, but he did say, you know, we're going to give the, we're going to march to the Capitol building. But he also said, He said, I know, let me find the quotes here. Bum, 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 bum. Okay, he said, I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard.
Mm-hmm.
So he did say that.
Okay.
He said, we're going to, but then he, later on, he said, oh, we're going to march to the Capitol. I'm going to be with you, which he didn't. He went back and enjoyed it on TV. We don't know what happened January 6th, but he was there and he didn't do anything about it. You know, he should have gotten up right away and gone, you know, gone on the podium and to a TV camera and said, "Whoa, I'm and been this on radio and TV and streaming," and said, "Everybody, pull back. You know, do not get out of the Capitol. You know, this is
exactly."
He could have been more aggressive in stopping this, and he reportedly had a watch party on the TV with members of his family and enjoyed it. And then did make a video 2 hours later. Then it was kind of like a lame, really lame video. I don't know if many of you may have seen it or heard it, saying, you know, go home peacefully, go home. And it was just so lackluster. I love you very much. I love you very much. As they're killing police officers, killing them, hurting them, smashing them in doors, spreading their bowel movements over the walls of the Capitol, urinating in the corners of the Capitol building, going into Congress people's offices and messing up all their desks and throwing papers all over the floor, carrying the podium of Nancy Pelosi across the rotunda, the Capitol rotunda. And he's there saying, I love you very much. You're all very special people. Go home peacefully. I love you.
Oh,
love you. I love you. I love you. I love you.
Yeah.
I love you. Corazon, Corazon, I love you very much. Love you very much.
I am
created. Then he started dancing. He took out his golf clubs. You know?
Swing with me, people. Swing with me.
Swing with me. YMCA. Dance, everybody.
Y-M-C-A.
Oh, my God.
All in one.
And then he went on to say, and I'll summarize here, that he's going to they're going to help the weak Republicans because the strong ones don't need our help. We're going to march in the Capitol because you can't win with weakness. You can only win with strength. Hopefully that Mike Pence will be there for us and get this thing turned around for us. Of course, Mike Pence did not have the ability to do that. The entire occasion of Congress officially, you know, officiating the ballots from all the states is a ceremony. It's not like a rule. It's not something where they decide whether they accept them or not. It's just, it's ceremonial, and Pence was powerless to do anything to stop it. You know,
but
Trump and allies thought, oh, Pence can say no. I will not accept these ballots. We're not doing this. I want ballots that only say Trump won. That's what Trump wanted to do. That's what he wanted to do. Yeah. I can't believe we lived through all this. I can't believe this is
weird, right?
Isn't it unbelievable?
Yeah.
You know, I was commenting yesterday on Facebook, and I comment when I on right wing extremist domestic terrorist thugs Facebook sites. I comment when they say things that are lies. I can't help myself. I'm sorry. I can't help myself.
Well,
I tell the truth, and they say, "Troll, get out of here. Get your troll." I said, "I'm not a troll. If being a troll is a stand for honesty, a stand for integrity, a stand for the truth, then I'm a troll, and I'm proud of it. God damn it!" So,
I can see you with your little Superman costume on and the American flag,
and my sunglasses, and my
American way.
yes, my super and a guitar strap over my back, you know.
Yes.
Sunglasses on. God damn it. Yeah.
Mankini
in a mankini. God, you know, I still do have that mankini. I still have it. It's in a plastic bag it came in. I remember I sent you a picture of it. Remember I took it out? I sent you a picture of it. I want explicit instructions as to how you want me to wear this thing.
You see, you put your leg through one hole and your leg through the other hole.
You gotta tell me live. Why don't you tell me on the phone? You know, I'll put it on.
Oh, okay. You heard it here first, guys.
Well, you started it. You started this whole. I never knew or heard of a mankini.
Oh, okay.
You started it. You did.
Yeah,
you did start it.
Pass
you
book.
Did.
Pass the book.
I never heard of a mankini. You know, you started talking mankinis. I'm like, what? Yeah.
Yeah, that really did pique everyone's interest, right? Because I think it's such a funny thing. And I've seen them and I think, oh my God, what is that? And when I looked into it, I was like, wow, men really wear them? And I just couldn't help myself. I'm like, Andy, I just had to share that.
What's more of a funny thing is me in one.
I'll take your word for it, son.
Not that I would know yet, but I looked at it.
Okay.
I have not. I looked at it and I'm like, eh. You know, I don't know. I don't know. I
gotta admit, if I was a guy wearing a mankini, I'd probably just try it on for the laugh, and I would take one look in the mirror and say, no. Oh,
sorry, I will try it on. I will for you, Amanda. Only for you. Only for you.
Well, thank you very much.
I will not take a picture, but I will put it on and stand in front of the mirror and go, eh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
That is so funny, Andy. That's so funny.
You're just imagining me, and it's so funny. She has this visualization of me in a mankini, and then she has the audacity to tell me live, "Oh, Andy, it's so so funny, Andy. That's the story of my life, right there. See, no respect, you know, none." Tell you, man. Tell you, these
God,
Brits, these Brits, you know, these Brits, you know,
especially the ones. Me.
I love the Brits. I love the accent. It's very sexy. You know, it's very, very sexy. It is. Do Americans or people like me? Well, forget me. I'm probably not. Wouldn't be included. Do people in America, do I sound like I have an accent to you, like you have an accent to me?
Yeah, sure. I mean, we watch a lot of American movies and TV series here. So I guess for people, the American accent is kind of like second second nature in the way we hear it. But, you know, for a lot of people who don't, it's very prominent. And even though I watch a lot of that stuff, it's still very prominent to me. So, yes, accents are a big thing. I always pick up on the various American accents. I can never replicate them, but I pick up on them.
I want to try to hear you do that someday. You know, I want to.
What, an American accent? Oh, my goodness. I'd probably fail. And everybody in the U.S. would be laughing at me so much. Like, oh, my God, did he really just say that?
I could do, like, hello, how are you? Hello. Welcome to the Andy and Amanda Show. Hello. Yes. Good day. Good day. I like because it's like that. Good day. It's like that. It's like
Oliver Talon.
Yeah, where's Mark Lester? Hey, Mark, if you're listening, what how you doing, dude? How's it going, guy? you know, yeah, it's like when you good day. It's like every time you say something, it's like you're asking a question at the end of it. Good day. Like it's not a yes or no.
The tone at the end.
Good day.
Yeah.
It raises like this. He goes up. You know. Good day. Hello. Good day. Hello. How are you? How are you?
Oh.
I'm fine, thanks. Goodness. How's the wife? She's fine. Just not to you. Goodbye.
How a lot of Americans think that the Australians are British and vice versa, or they think the British sound Australian. And there is a slight connection between the London kind of accent, depending on where in London you come from, and the Australian accent that can sound very similar. But other than that, we just kind of laugh at it, because I guess it's the same for people in the US when they say, really, we sound like these people? But like, no.
I guess you can make the distinction between between the South African and now I'm sounding like Mrs. Doubtfire. This is so sweet. Oh my God, you're so sweet. Yes, Mrs. Doubtfire. You're such a little harem. Oh my goodness. What was I saying? Oh yeah, make the distinction between the South African accent and the accent of the British people. Yes. Yes.
I'm gonna come at you with practicing an American accent, and I'm gonna do that in the next show. I've got to do it after that.
But can you tell? Yeah, the difference between the South African the UK accent is where what's the difference? I can't tell. If I hear somebody from South Africa, I assume that they're from London.
Oh really?
Mm-hmm.
Funny actually. That is funny. There's been times that I've heard South Africans and I thought, wait a minute, is that British? No, it's not. It's a really unusual accent, really unusual.
But you can tell, you can make that, you know, right away, you can hear it. Yeah.
Definitely.
Because I don't hear any South Africans going, hello, how are you? Wait a minute, mate. Okay, old chap.
I'll tell you, Andy.
Hello, old chap.
The amount of variation in British accents over here is crazy. It is, it's the same in the US, I guess, how much it varies there, but...
I'll tell you. There's like, you know, come around here too often, so, you know, I'll tell you, man. Yeah, tell, yeah.
I love it. Accents are amazing, aren't they? I always have the thing of, how did they start? Where did they come from, you know? And I guess where people migrated from different parts of the world to different countries, that's where it all started to change, because as soon as you hear somebody next to you or you're talking to somebody for a long time and you're constantly around that accent, you can quite easily mimic it without even realizing. So, you know, I've always thought about that. Where did they come from? Where did they start? And how easy they are to pick up, and it's just fascinating, absolutely fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Shut up and drink your gin!
Yeah!
Thank you.
Okay, yeah, I'll do that right now.
There's one accent that never really seemed, you know, we've taken a poll, we've asked some of our audience members when they feel that accent is important in life. Like when you first hear somebody, is an accent that you assume you know something about them just by the way they speak and how they and when is that important and when is it not? And we'll just take a listen to some of our responses here.
On top writing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I must remember that one. Any more comments?
Let me see here. Mm-hmm.
Doggy style for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. More.
Oh yeah, there's and you know there's there's it's interesting though if you do make assumption on somebody about somebody when you first are introduced to them or meet them by how they speak, what their dialect is.
Excuse me. Yes.
And you know what their accent is. I wonder if that's you know.
Mm.
Example: if you came up, yeah, like you know.
I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog too.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder though the link between these things because now this may sound harsh, like I'm attacking people, and I'm not being racist or any ism whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, like in various countries, you've got how do I refer to this without offending anybody? So okay, and like in the US, you've got what is classed as the redneck community. Okay, and if I'm politically incorrect there, please, you know, don't take any offense. I'm just, you know, trying to use this as an example of what you hear. So you know, when you hear the way they talk with their accent. And it's the same here with people in certain parts of the country who sound like, and I hate to use this term because I don't like to use it and I don't think of people that way, but, you know, they're perceived as lower class, you know, the people who don't work, people who prefer to live off the government and play on illnesses and all that kind of thing, you know. And they've got a way of living and being and speaking and their accent. So quite often they're perceived by other people and quite often judged for being less than they are when we know they're not. And it's the same for the redneck community, right? They're not less of a person just because of the way they sound, the way they live, and, you know, so on. So, yeah, I can see how it's so easy to hear somebody and then immediately judge them based on the way they sound, thinking we know their lifestyle, who they are, what they think about, what they do, what they feel, all those kind of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what they think, especially thinking about what's going to go on tomorrow in the Senate when you tune in as a foreigner and you turn to your TV and see the news and thousands of people screaming "Hang Mike Pence." Your assessment of these people when they hear these things, as opposed to imagine all the people, do, 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 do. Hang Mike Pence. Hang Mike Pence.
Yeah.
All we are saying, you know, hang Mike Pence. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing,
really,
though, how much humanity hasn't changed from back in the day. Like, because the UK has so much, like, bloody history. And the way we used to be very violent, well, we're still violent creatures, but, you know, we're like beheading people and putting their heads on...
oh, my God.
Impaling them, you know, and you know, that kind of aggression, and that you used to stand around to watch executions in the streets, and people used to cheer for that. And it's like, nothing's really changed. We've given the opportunity and the right influence. People can't be influenced to be that way.
You're so right.
Well, I feel it. Which wheel? Wheel down. Wheel. 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 Ladder. 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 Ladder.
Things never change. You know?
Yes.
I'll tell you.
For me, is a very good day.
Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah. Thank you. It is.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, it is. Hey, you know, I'm watching the, I guess you call it similar to a ticker, watching the, as we said earlier in the show, what we try to do, and we are successful almost every show, is report the cases and deaths over by country, especially USA and the UK, because it's manages in UK and I'm here in USA. But in USA, so far today, 84 people have lost their lives to COVID. And in the UK, 333 people have lost their lives to COVID. And yesterday, there was 1,340 deaths in the USA, 373 in the UK. All right. And since yesterday was Sunday and we didn't have a show over the weekend, Saturday's numbers in the USA deaths is 2,795 and 828 in the UK. So 2,795 people lost their lives on Saturday due to the coronavirus. All right. And add to that, 1,340 lost their lives yesterday in the U.S., and so far 84 people today. Total deaths in the United States as of right now, or actually on the hour, so just 56 minutes ago, the total deaths in the United States was 475,017. 400, almost a half a million people. And it was last February 8th, 1 year ago today, 1 year ago today, where Donald Trump admitted to Bob Woodward that, boy, Bob, this is a dangerous one. This is a bad one, Bob. It doesn't discriminate. And, Bob, you know what? It's airborne. It's airborne, Bob. It's real bad. This is worse than the flu, Bob. And he knew 1 year ago today, before really the first case, although, you know, we dove into this on Friday's show, probably, you know, we went way into the origins and the different theories and where this came from and what the various – we came up at the end of the whole big discussion with, we don't know. But anyway, it was, you know, we did talk about the fact that the first cases of COVID were, you know, discovered, you know, even prior to, you know, January, back in December. And actually the very first cases were, go back as far as 2019, late 18, when they did biopsies and blood serum samples from lung cancer patients and found the COVID virus. So it goes back quite some ways, but didn't get into society really to any degree till about a year ago. And it was 1 year ago that Donald Trump was made aware of this and did nothing until March 16th. And even then, there was never been, until Joe Biden took office, there's never been a national plan, and we have almost a half a million people that have died because – we've talked about this plenty of times through the months.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, and you look at the – I'm sitting here looking at other countries. You know, we're – you know, 475,000 people died here. 155,000 people died in India. India's got a population of 1,388,000. We've got a population of 332 million. And good on the list of all the countries and all below us. USA is a leader. We had no plan. Other countries had a plan. I mean, the numbers are horrible. As we said, you know, if one person dies from a virus, then that's preventable. Then that's too many. But a half a million people?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Hey, Amanda, we're about ready to wrap, man. It's been a fast hour, my love.
It has. It really has. It's been a fun one too, my darling. So I will take it away, yes?
Yes, you take it away.
And
just to let everybody know, we'll be back normal time Wednesday. And we'll be back at this time again next Monday, right? Something like that. We'll be in touch. All right. Yeah. Take it away, Amanda.
So from the wonderful Andy Kimball in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And for myself, Amanda Love in the UK, thank you so much again for joining us for another afternoon show. We look forward to having you back on the show at our normal scheduled time on Wednesday. And take care and keep smiling and be safe. And thanks again. We love you. All the best.
We'll see everybody. Take care. Have a good afternoon, good evening, whatever time it is on the world you live in. Be safe. We'll see you now.
Absolutely. Bye, everyone.